As we continue our study in the Gospel of Matthew today, you will recall we are in the 26th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and we have been discussing with you what we referred to as the anointing of the king, that beautiful story of how the woman saved a very precious ointment with which to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ for his burial. Time does not permit us to repeat all of the details that were related to that incident, but we did say that there were two practical truths that we all ought to learn from it, whether the details of the story remained in our mind or not. And one of them, of course, is the truth concerning spirituality, the importance of spirituality, and we discussed that with you. The second truth, the one we want to discuss with you today, of course, we termed the evils of carnality. The story in Matthew chapter 26 does not only speak to us then of spirituality, but it speaks to us of carnality. The carnality is evidenced in several instances in the story, but when I speak of carnality, I think we need to know exactly what I am talking about. Am I speaking of a person who gets drunk every now and then? Am I speaking of a person who delves into lustful experiences, satisfying the lust of the flesh? Well, such people can be and probably are carnal. But when the Word of God gives the definition of carnality in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it does not say anything about those things which bother some of us to the extent that I have mentioned, some of the so-called great sins. The definition of carnality, as it is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is expressed in these words. Paul said to the church at Corinth, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal." Now why? Why were they still carnal? Well, he continues, "For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men?" That last phrase, "walk as men," has often been translated, "walk as ordinary men." You see, there should be a difference between the believer and the unbeliever. There should be a difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. But there is very little difference in the outward characteristics of a carnal Christian and an unbeliever. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 26 briefly and notice some of the characteristics of carnality in the light of this definition we've just given you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In chapter 26, verse 11, you have one of the characteristics of carnality. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "For ye have the poor always with you, but me you do not have always with you." Now, I suggested to you that the reason the Lord Jesus Christ said that was that they did not appreciate the opportunity that was before them. They were blind. They were not able to discern something that was of real value. As a matter of fact, in verse 8, when his disciples saw what this woman had done, they had great indignation to saying, "To what purpose is this waste?" They had no grasp of the spiritual situation at all. The word "waste" there is the translation of the Greek word apollyon, which means a dead loss. Now think with me very carefully. Here was an individual who performed an act of devotion which the Lord Jesus Christ said was related to her spiritual discernment. That is, it showed that she had real spiritual discernment. And because she unthinkingly and unreservedly did what she was discerned was the thing for her to do, unthinkingly as far as whether she was wasting money or not, concerned about doing what she was meant to do, and unreservedly doing it, she was different from the materialistic, blind, and carnal men who were about her. For those materialistic, blind, and carnal men said, "What a dead loss this is which this woman has done." Now, you may be called upon, walking at the direction of the Spirit of God, to do a number of things that carnal men may misinterpret as wasted effort. I am never concerned with man's evaluations of my efforts, for oftentimes my efforts, as are the efforts of many servants of the Lord, are evaluated in the midst of carnality. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, you will find the description of the spiritual man. And after you have been given the description of the spiritual man, you are told that the individual who is lacking in these attributes which characterize the spiritual man is blind and cannot see afar off. Blindness, according to Peter, as well as Matthew, is typical of carnality. My friend today, though you are a believer, if you do not see some of the things, some of the value spiritually speaking in what is being done in the name of the Lord, the problem may not be with the person who is faithfully serving his Lord. The problem may be with you who are not spiritual. There are other indications of carnality in the text. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." Now in verse 8, when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste?" And they harassed the woman because of it. These people were indignant at what they thought was a waste of money and effort, and their indignation became so deep that in verse 10 you read, "They trouble this woman." Now, the English text doesn't give the full meaning of the word trouble. The English word trouble here is the translation of two Greek words, kapos parako, which literally means to beat with words. Well, you know what it is to be beaten with a stick or a paddle or something like that. I wonder, do you know what it is to be beaten with words? Some of you do. Sometimes wife abuse, you know, and there's quite a bit of it. And child abuse, and there's quite a bit of it. Sometimes it is not related to so-called physical abuse, where the physical contact of the bodies is made. Sometimes it's a matter of what is called emotional abuse, or here, in the light of our text, word abuse. They harass this woman. They literally beat this woman with words. They wouldn't let her go. They just kept on and on until the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "Enough. Do not trouble this woman any longer. You are doing this because you are not able to understand why she did what she did." He might just as well have said, "You're doing this because you are carnal men." Will you think with me? The next time you are indignant, and yes, I know there is such a thing as righteous indignation, but the next time that you are indignant, the next time that you are bickering and battling and beating somebody with words, stop in the midst of it and ask yourself this question: am I doing this because I am spiritual, or am I doing it because I am carnal? Examine your life to see if the carnality is there. When you have time, read what is recorded in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32, and end up with the phrase, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit." When you read those things listed there in chapter 4 of Ephesians, you will find that among the things which are listed which grieved the Holy Spirit is this thing we're talking about, wrathful indignation. Maybe you start out for church some Sunday morning, controlled by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and between home and church, your wife says something, or the children become too noisy, and you become indignant, wrathfully indignant. You berate with words, everybody in the car. And by the time you get to church and you greet folk, you greet them as though nothing has happened, but you are out of fellowship. And oftentimes where churches have the Lord's table at their morning service, people sit down at the Lord's table in that state of carnality without realizing it, without having confessed it to the Lord, without having acknowledged it, and they bring condemnation upon themselves. One last thing I would suggest to you, as far as our story is concerned, carnality is typified by materialism. Notice verse 9, Matthew chapter 26, verse 9, "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." They were more interested, those men who stood about that day, in material value, in the material value of that oil, if you please, than in the spiritual significance of the act of Mary. When you have time, refresh your minds by reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of things, and then he said to those who were there that day, "Don't seek after these material things. That's what carnal people do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." There is nothing wrong with those things per se. It was wrong if, and it is wrong, if you spend all of your time thinking about them and being so materialistically minded that you cannot conceive the spirituality of the matter. We might add that carnality is always marked by hypocrisy. John chapter 12, verse 6 tells us that Judas said, as spokesman for the group, "Why are you wasting this?" He said concerning the ointment. "Why are you wasting this? We could have sold it and given the money to the poor." And John observes he said that because he was the treasurer, not because he was interested in the poor. Hypocrisy, friend, is a sign of carnality. May I ask you today, are you walking in the Spirit and hence are spiritual, or are you walking in the flesh and therefore carnal? You have the answer to that question for your own life. Please find it. It's the only source of victory for you.